Okay, we have a forum. We'll go ahead and call together Tarrant County 911 Emergency Assistance District Board of Managers meeting for December the 5th, 2022. We'll move into item two for agenda announcements. All right, then we'll move into item three, consent agenda. We have a motion for board.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion for Mr. Brunson, second Chief Steele. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously with those present. We'll move into item four, the Executive Director report.
Good morning. On page 13, you will see our monthly stats, the PSAP call volume statistics. On page 14 is our social media statistical data for the month. And then on 15 is our community events that were presented. The board action items that we were asked to accomplish were a letter to the stakeholders, which Chief Krause and I both signed and sent out. And that has to do with the regionalization study that is on page 19. And the regionalization talking points is on page 21, that we asked for assistance with Mission Critical Partners to put together our top three talking points that we would like emphasized on the regionalization study. And Chantel, do you have a update on the regionalization study?
Yes, ma'am, thank you. Well, first of all, I want to say thank you guys to the board for, first of all, greenlighting this project. It's been a really good project for myself. And hopefully we continue to move forward in the right direction. Where we are today, we're still in the data collection phase of this project. We completed our first two set of town halls. The last was last week. The PSAP management now, they were tasked with providing data to MCP. Before the start of this the first town hall, they're still working through that process. What's next? We're still within that data collection phase. Save the date, January 12th. Please put that on your calendars. We're going to have MCP is coordinating with myself, a session for a two-hour session for the board. 90-minute block with the elected officials. That includes mayor, city councils, and county commissioners. We're also wanting to have a citizen community group session, two PSAP tours, which will include NRH and AZL, and then potentially other site visits based on the information submitted. Terry Powell is here to provide insight on the breakdown of those sessions for January 12th. Thank you so much, Terry.
Sure. Good morning. Thank you. So after the two sessions that we have, Bonnie Maney asked me to let all of you know that we are gathering useful data. So what we've heard through those sessions is very important. And one of the things they wanted me to stress to you is that sometimes what we don't hear people saying speaks just as loudly as what we do hear them saying in those sessions. But based on our experience, especially the meeting that we had with all of you kicking this work off, I wanted to assure you that prior to the January 12th meeting, we're going to be working really closely with Chantel on the invitations, on following up to make sure that people are aware that it's happening, that they're aware that they are, of course, invited and welcome. We will share an agenda with all of you, the board members, prior to that session, as well as we'll give you a chance to see the slide deck prior to the session, so that if there's anything you want to add or, you know, have us maybe, I've never been asked to have anything taken out, but usually you might have one or two things that you think it would be helpful to see. The other thing that I heard based on the set of meetings last week was that there was a lot of questions about the MG911 project. And so I will definitely be at the January 12th meeting to give, let's call it a primer, right? We'll talk a little bit about next gen, what that looks like for the PSAP personnel, as well as what it looks like here at the district for you guys. And again, you will be able to see all of that information prior to us being here.
Great. Any questions? Mr. Brunson?
Clarifying question. Because my understanding that the January 12th meeting was supposed to be for the elected officials that have direct representation on the board. So it would be Irving, Arlington, Fort Worth, and Grand Prairie.
Mayor's Council and Commissioner's Court.
The Mayor's Council and the Commissioner's Court.
Correct.
So what I'm hearing is it's being opened up to the others. But I will say before you answer that, and I tried to call you, didn't get around to it. This will be in the Mayor's Council's packet today.
Oh.
And...
Is that the one pager?
Yes.
Well, that was really just for you. We haven't finalized it yet.
Well,
but
that's okay. It's been done.
Okay, yeah.
Because these are all good points that they need to be aware of.
Understood.
And they're also at the February meeting, they will be on the agenda. Sherry can, or you or whoever, can make a presentation to the entire Mayor's Council. Couldn't get it tonight because Fort Worth's talking about broadband.
Yeah, I've seen your email, so.
So just to confirm, it's only the four cities, Mayor, Council, and Commissioner's Court for the meeting in January.
That still covers a lot of people.
I just don't want to exclude anybody either.
Yeah.
Just because when we put this out there and the smaller agencies don't see that they're invited, it can send a bad message. Just my opinion.
So Mayor's Council will be representative of those small agencies, is that right? Am I off on that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's why we're sharing the other information, is that they will have an opportunity. That's one of the things that I came away from the town hall meetings, is we got to do a better job of communicating with the smaller places. And when somebody says, I'm surprised that I'm hearing about this at the same time that my city manager and my mayor are hearing about it, and I'm thinking, well, do you not go to the PSAT manager's meetings? Do you not read the information? And when you hear those, you got to kind of push back and say, okay, What's wrong with the communications that we've got now that's not working? Because as we go down this path, that's going to have to be really important.
And if the individual cities would like us to host a fourth meeting, we can definitely do that. The more information, the better.
Yeah, I think in this meeting in particular, we need to sort of reaffirm this is a study.
Yes.
There's no predetermined outcomes or anything like that. So we can, you know, make sure we're staying properly focused on the things we need to focus on.
And I did want to mention that the meeting in January will be at Everman. Thank you so much, Chief Spencer, did get back with me to burn you guys' this facility. So thank you.
And while I still have Sherry over here, I just wanted to let y'all know that our RFP has gone out for our next-gen core services. And is that a 30-day, how many days is our, will it be out before we start reviewing proposals? If you don't know, it's okay. I just wanted them to know that it's out.
It was a three-week, we had a very short turnaround time. The Tarrant County was anxious to get the responses in. So, yes, it is out on the street. You have your questions already due from the vendors, and we worked with staff and answered all of those questions last week. So now the vendors are in their response period. And then once responses are delivered, the group will start reviewing and scoring those. And we had training last Monday. I was here, and we did training on the scoring tool.
And when do we expect to hear the outcome of this at the board level?
January 14th.
So Sherry is optimistic. The intention is to bring the intent to award to the January board meeting. I do want to caution all of you. These can be lengthy responses to review, and
sure,
depending on how many vendors respond, it might take longer than that just for you guys. I know you don't want to hear that. Just for you to read them and score them.
Sure.
Thank you very much, Sherry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. Our PSAP consolidations, we've actually had three. October 25th, West Worth Village consolidated with White Settlement. On December the 7th, Sansom Park is consolidating not with White Settlement, with Blue Mound. Sorry, that's a mistake on my part. And then 12/28, Tarrant County Fire Alarm will be going with Everman.
So can we get sort of a synopsis report of these local recent consolidation efforts and where we were and then where we are as far as...
Since before we started on this?
Yeah, just I think, you know, we need to be able to have that as a talking point if we need to for various constituent groups. As we are, repeating the phrase, but we're sort of organically starting to consolidate.
It's strange.
So, yeah. Mr. Russell.
And one of the answers I think that we need to put out there, because we didn't answer this one at the South deal, is what happens if a city decides that they don't want to participate? And we did provide an answer, and I think it kind of went off the rails after that. And the clear answer is nothing.
Yeah, it's a study.
As an organization, we still have to provide the telephone calls to you. I think that would remove a lot of angst.
Yeah, because I think, a lot of this is informational.
Right.
And it helps with decision making, and that decision making is up to the individual entities that we serve. So.
Consolidation?
That's all I got.
I did want to bring up board appointments. We did send out an email October the 28th requesting current board appointment documentation. All of our appointments are over 2 years old and expired. We did get Rick Brunson's I think last week. So if y'all would look into that and get us new appointments. And then lastly, legislation I included on page 23 to 27, the wireless fee increase that the Alliance, and I know there's one from CSEC also on the wireless fee, and I didn't know if Phil wanted to talk.
Sure.
Or you could throw your questions for Phil.
Let's go, Bill.
All right. So I would consider this more of a placeholder than anything. There's going to be a meeting this week in Senator Hancock's office with lobbyists, attorneys for the Alliance Board President from Montgomery County. CSEC will be there along with representatives from AT&T, T-Mobile, and Verizon. And this is very important because it's the first time we've had the carriers in with everybody to hash out the issues surrounding wireless fee legislation. Members of the legislature since last session have been asking for very hard numbers on ongoing costs. And I know that's very difficult to provide, especially with the time frame and timetable they've given to get this implemented. And so what the Alliance and CSEC have tried to do is provide examples of small districts, medium districts, and large districts in order to give them kind of a top to bottom, this is what we're looking at. I will know a lot more after this meeting tomorrow on what we're up against going in there. I'll tell you that the carriers, at least Verizon and T-Mobile, have been very less than supportive than AT&T was last session. A lot of this they feel is vendor driven, but that's just their internal fighting, and we're getting...
How do they feel it's vendor-driven?
Because they feel like AT&T is the only carrier that can provide the next-generation 911 equipment.
Interesting. Sorry.
So they, as other carriers... I find that interesting because when I've worked with those carriers in other states, usually when you involve them up front, they're very supportive. Mm-hmm. But they don't want to pay, they don't want their subscribers to pay a competitor. Is that how they're viewing this?
Yeah.
Because AT&T has the CSEC contract.
So, again, that's why it's so important that we're all going to be in the same room together. especially with
so but this issue is not about the vendors, it's about the communities.
Absolutely. You know, and our, if we can get them on board or at least not opposing this, then it's going to be much smoother sailing. But we have to involve them at some point in this process just to hear their concerns and have the senator and his staff, you know, express their desire to get this done. They need to hear that. But again, I'll know more after tomorrow's meeting.
Okay, I don't know if this helps, but Arlington representatives, both Democratic and Republican, potentially prepared to support this, and they're supposed to be reaching out to
you. I have a meeting on Thursday with Jay Warren with the City of Arlington to discuss how we can mobilize.
Because if we could bipartisan this and not let it be something else, focus on it.
I mean, this is one of these issues, and we're all going to have to be united on this. All the districts, as much support as we can get from our member cities to get behind this and rally this, because we're asking for a fee increase, and even though we need it, desperately need it, and it's necessary, it's still going to be a hard sell in an extremely conservative legislature.
And how did we get to the 75 cents? Well, that's what I'm seeing. Is it 75 or 85?
It's 85, okay. But I would consider that a placeholder for now. A draft bill has been submitted to Texas Legislative Council, and just for the benefit of those who don't know what that is, it's a state agency of nonpartisan attorneys, and if you're a member of the House or the Senate, whatever bill you want filed, you submit a request to them, they draft it, they do the research, and it's, you don't have to have them do that, but it is, I would say 95% of the bills that passed in the legislature have been drafted by Legislative Council. And they do it in a way, in the proper format and things, so that you don't have points of order called on it as you move through the process. They had to get a bill draft in pretty quickly just to get something moving. Back in late September, early October, over 3,000 requests had been submitted by then. And that's the most I've seen that far in advance of a legislative session. In a long time. So, I hate to keep going back to it, I'll note more, but I would just consider that as a placeholder. I mean, last session, we had four or five different versions of the bill once it was finally passed.
Any other questions for Bill? I've got a question for the district, though. What does 85 cents look like for our impact on our district? We haven't done the math yet,
but it will be a positive impact for sure.
6 to 7.
that's a political answer. if we could work up a general number of what those kind of things look like from a revenue perspective.
It'd be 50% of whatever we're getting now.
At least.
If we're getting 12, it's going to be 6 to 7.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Bill, do you have something else?
No, sir. Unless, did you want me to go through the rest of my presentation? Or
if that's okay with the director?
I can do whatever you guys want.
Do you mind if you wait a minute?
No, that's fine.
If some of these people would like to, they could. And he's a very busy man. I mean, he's going to be down in Houston with us on Wednesday. Myself and some of my team will be at the Alliance meeting, and he's going to be down there representing us. So I don't know how you're doing it right now. It's very, very taxing. I'd like to go on to...
Yes, ma'am. Let's go to item 5.
Yep. We would like to recognize the Lake Worth Police Department and their P-33 certification. Chantel is, of course, our APCO president coming up this year, and she knows a lot about this P-33 certification and how hard it is to get and the dedication that it takes. And before I had my last retirement, I happened to be set on that evaluation committee, and let me tell you, they're tough. They are tough, and they keep coming back. They won't even think, man, I've got this. But we'd like to recognize y'all with a plaque if y'all don't mind coming up.
Thank you, guys.
It's such an honor and pleasure to present these guys. I mean, you guys are the most supportive of all the PSAPs in our district, and we surely appreciate you guys a lot. And so it's such an honor and pleasure to recognize you guys for achieving a P33 certification from the Association of Public Safety Communications Official, November 1st, 2022. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Fourth in the state of Texas to receive this.
Awesome.
And they're in our district, so we're very excited.
Good job.
So let's jump in here.
I didn't do this long. Excellent.
Thank you, Abby.
And thank y'all for hosting the Northern Town Hall.
Yeah. It was great. We felt very spoiled.
No, we love to have y'all. We appreciate you very much. And we didn't do this on our own. We got a lot of help from your guys' staff and assistance from, I know she's no longer here. She left us and went away, Robbie. She was very helpful. So we appreciate you guys most of all. I can't speak enough that I've worked in other districts, I've worked in other counties, and I can tell you nothing holds up to what your guys' staff does for us. Even outside of the phones, the radios, the integrations of things. Y'all are amazing. So we do appreciate this, but we appreciate you guys more.
Y'all are welcome to stay. You don't have to. I know this is exciting.
If you wouldn't mind excusing us.
Yeah.
They have no interest in
talking. I wonder who's answering that phone right
now. Exactly.
Nobody. It's just ringing.
Congratulations. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, yes. We will expect a talk to the rest of the managers about first steps at the next meeting.
You guys don't want to see my first steps. And then with Excel spreadsheet with my scribbles all over it. That's exactly what it is. So
that's awesome.
Thank you.
Okay, so it starts at April.
Thank you very much. Congratulations. Thank you. Appreciate it. It's always nice.
Uplifting moment.
Yes.
Okay, we'll go to purchases over $50,000.
This is the renewal of our health employee health insurance and plan benefits. It's on page 31. And if you have any questions, they are here to speak on
it. Are we looking at an increase?
Just a small increase. And that's only with the United Healthcare benefits, our health benefits, but our dental benefits, our life insurance, and the short-term and long-term disability will be the same.
Perfect.
And the increase is only about 2.4. We had that already projected in the budget. Really, the plan is similar to the plan that we had before. The only difference is that the out-of-pocket expenses for out-of-network has increased. And if you look on page 34 of your agenda package, I have it highlighted in gray, showing what the changes are.
Okay, any questions from the board? I think this is fairly consistent, I think, with most of the district. So I think that's kind of where we want to be here. That's pretty good.
Well, we do appreciate United Healthcare. They're here on our behalf, working with us and attending here. They've been a pleasure to work with us, so we appreciate that.
Thanks for all your hard work on our behalf.
Anybody else? Is there anything else we want to cover?
Not on this, as far as that.
All right, so we have a motion. For approval.
Make a motion to approve.
Make a motion to send from the mayor. Second from the mayor. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
You can sign it after. Okay. Stephanie, you might as well stay up here, girl.
No.
Personal policy review.
All right, let's move into it.
All right, so the first policy that was revised was the holidays and leave time policy. The big changes here overall was basically formatting. In terms of the content of the policy, it's pretty much the same. No changes with the benefits. I know previously there was a suggestion about paid out time for retirees or, you know, employees in general. That's the same as it was. We didn't make any changes, so it's as it was. The only change that's significant in here is that I did add a section regarding excessive tardiness or absenteeism. And the reason I did that, we did have an issue one time before, and it was very difficult, you know, for the leadership team to a certain extent to be able to determine what excessive absences was. So I wanted to give them a guideline. Still, they have the ability to change, you know, the disciplinary process if there is totality of circumstances that would support that. So that is the really the only change, is sort of defining the excessive tardiness and absenteeism and misuse of leave time, sick time. But that's it. Everything else is the same as before when it was first approved. Any questions at all about this policy? It has been reviewed by the legal team as well and approved.
Not a question, but a comment.
Yes, sir.
I would like for y'all to consider in the future including on the excessive absenteeism and tardiness a lifetime total. At the county, if you get 90 days of unexcused absences over your career, that's it.
Wow, that's interesting. Okay. Thank you.
We want people working. Great pay, great benefits.
Sure. I think the only thing that caught me off guard was page 42, under holidays designated. We've got two personal days under the holidays designated.
So yes, and
that's in conflict with a holiday, I think. A personal day is a personal day. How are those?
Well, normally what happens, sometimes we may have an employee who may have, maybe they celebrate a different religious holiday that another employee doesn't celebrate, so that gives them the option to sort of substitute their religious day for.
So that would be consistent with most of the district holiday standards. Anybody have this within your jurisdiction? Is it, and this has been existing?
Yes, it was here before I got here.
Because I think we just added the Juneteenth holiday recently, which is not consistent with the rest of the district, but that's the only outlier that I see.
Yeah, this is with the city of Fort Worth and Tarrant County.
Yeah,
we do Juneteenth also.
Mm-hmm. And it's my understanding it's been in a policy since at least
I want to say 14,
but yeah, 2014, January 2014, when the policy was approved.
I
hadn't made any changes in this regard. This is already
going back to that sick leave, the pattern of sick leave, is that something their software picks up, the scheduling, or is that the supervisors are just reviewing and?
Our purely HR and super, there would be a combination of things.
Okay. It's not, they don't get it. There's not an early warning system or something in the software or some kind of?
No. No, not at all. It'll be something that the supervisor would work with me, and obviously we'll go through the process of coaching and then potentially additional advance disciplinary action if needed.
And legal had no issue with pattern?
No. They indicated that it was okay. I mean, obviously they wanted us to make sure that we didn't put ourselves against the wall and have, like, you know, we wanted to stay flexible depending on the totality of the circumstances, but that was it.
That was our thought process, is we needed to leave it on a case-by-case basis for appropriate action to be taken. But the rule, the general rule, is set forth in your policy, and then the supervisor and HR director and executive director will ultimately make the decision whether or not disciplinary action is necessary.
That just seems pretty difficult to nail down unless catch them out playing golf or something. I know when we can see that kind of thing, kind of know what's going on, but you can't file a case, right? You know what's going on, but you can't prove. I just didn't know what the legal issue, you know, point of view was on pursuing that kind of
And you know, the last matter that we had, there was like some pattern there. Maybe the person would call in every Monday or Friday. You know, so we saw a pattern. And it became very difficult to sort of manage that without having a definition of what excessive absences were. And it's problematic because we need that person to be in the office based on our business needs.
This is a salary employee?
No, this was a hourly employee.
So I'm with you, Chief. I think abuse of the system is a case-by-case situation. Often difficult to manage.
And there is language in this policy about the totality of the circumstances here.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know everybody probably has individuals that you know that like to follow up a holiday or proceed it with a sick day or, or their days off or whatever, but it's always seemed very difficult to.
I mean, generally, our jurisdiction is it's not allowed.
Yeah.
You can't. It's called bridging. You're adding an additional sick leave on top of a vacation without. It has to be a substantiated leave.
Yes. If you look at agenda packet, page 47, you will see that language at the very top of there about the totality of the circumstances.
Is there a requirement for substantiation of when you're absent excessively or without leave?
Oh, yes. We can require like a doctor's note if necessary. yes, we can ask for information to substantiate the absence.
I just found that interesting. I know doctor's notes are pretty easy to get. You just go in there, pay the copay, you get the note, and they get there. I just found it interesting, kind of for our looking at it from a different point of view here. So.
No, I think you're absolutely on target.
Yeah.
The only other question I have is under excused absences, why is there, or maybe I'm missing it, there's not a provision for kind of last minute sick leave, especially with COVID and flu going around? You know, it talks about scheduled and approved sick leave, medical procedures and doctor's appointments. So what about those cases where they're needing to call out for the day for last minute sick leave? That's not considered excused if they're running that through
the
supervisor?
The employee can, these are only examples. The employee can have an excused absence once they talk to their supervisor and tell the supervisor, hey, I'm having COVID symptoms. One of the things we do not want them in the office under those circumstances, and it would be excused absence.
Okay, but this doesn't say these are examples. It says these are the things that would not constitute an unexcused absence, tardiness or an unexcused absence. The way I'm reading that
is scheduled and approved sick time, that would fall under the example that she provided.
So you see, for me, those personal days come back into play on this. That's what personal days should be used for. Because we're out of step with the rest of the organizations from a holiday perspective. You're
but they get a sick leave accrual, yes?
Yes.
Yes.
So I'm just curious because it doesn't say these are examples but not limited to. It's the way that I read that, it's very limited to that, scheduled and approved sick leave.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just asking, you know, for future reference while we're amending.
Mm-hmm. I can make that change.
So before we do this, I'm going to ask, so we can sit on this a little bit, maybe table this for the next meeting when we approve it. Because I'd also like to see the document with the track changes on it, if that's possible. I just went through this myself, reviewing policies. And,
again,
the track changes are very helpful so we can see what's actually changing in the document.
And the only reason I didn't do the track changes is because the format is completely different.
Oh, you had to retype it.
I had to retype everything, and so it's hard to track the changes. But again, the only thing that was changed, everything is the same with the exception of the excessive absences.
I'll say the two personal holidays, one is taken from January to June, and then you can only take the other one between June and the end of the year. So it's not like two personal holidays, bro, like that you can use together.
they're separated.
That's better than most packages, I think, in the district.
And that's been in fruition forever.
Yeah, I think that's part of the reason we brought new leadership here to help us make sure we're aligned with the rest of the organizations we serve. It's an existing policy, we understand that. Just, I think that's part of the reoccurring theme of making sure that this organization is consistent with the organizations it serves. That's fine. I think we need to understand these things more in greater clarity when they're distinctly different from the organizations it serves. So. We have a motion from the board. Do we want to approve this, or we want to review this further, or any
just take no action.
And what did you want to see changed?
Your staff wants you ultimately to approve the
policies.
Yes, policies. So okay.
Because it has an additional language in there about
they could bring it back.
And with the modification that.
Let's do that. Let's bring it back to the next board meeting. If we could further clarify excessive absence issue. Aubrey, did you have something else?
And then the last minute sick leave. I just think that needs to be that second paragraph there under excused absences needs to contain those last minute sick leave as approved by supervisor. That should be excused when.
And as far as the excessive absenteeism or tardiness, do you want Stephanie to bring back additional information on that, or you just want to think about it? And
well, I think there's, additional information would be fine. I don't want to make it so black and white to where you're locked in, where management doesn't have any flexibility. Management needs flexibility in these issues.
So, could I ask a question?
Sure.
With the change that Aubrey is asking, along with maybe just taking that part out, the definition about excessive absences on page 46 of your package. Mm-hmm. If you want, I can take out the misuse, even though I think that's very important too, on the next page, on page 47. But if you prefer, I am happy to take out excessive absences all the way up to the misuse of sick leave, if that would make you feel more comfortable.
I think the misuse of sick leave needs to stay in there. Most cities have a definition of what that looks like, just as a guide for leadership to use. I don't have any issue with the excessive tardiness definitions.
Well, for me, the six is a really high number. I just excessive tardiness in a 3-month period, that's a really high number. And that's a high number for a year. And it seems to be another sort of overly accommodating policy that doesn't match up with the expectation of most of the jurisdictions here. Just, I think if we could review those things in a more comparative analysis perspective, because I think we have to be careful of our expectation of our employees, and it needs to be consistent with the other employee systems we serve. And
six is more than two a week.
Yes, that is where an employee could really play the policy against the organization. And I think the general expectation is you come to work and you're not supposed to be late. If you're late, give us a reason why you're late. If you do it more than a few times, and there's an accounting for that.
Mm-hmm.
But this is very, very lenient. Yes.
Well, you know, and that is true. That's I think it depends on what hat you're wearing. If I was wearing my PSAP hat, that probably three mm-hmm. would be the max. And then recommendation for disciplinary action up to termination. In my district hat, it's a little bit more flexible, so whatever the board would like for us to do.
Well, I think your situations are different per employee group mm-hmm. and their responsibilities and their work specifics. I just think that this creates a basis for potential abuse that we would want to take away from a from a black and white, more of an expectation perspective. That's really a lot of tolerated.
Are you all coming for me?
I think I would ask you to go back and do a comparative analysis of the other jurisdictions on this issue, and you'd probably find a different perspective on it.
And one of the things is, you know, most of the jurisdictions, they don't really define a lot of times. A lot of times it's just
there you go. Absent of a definition gives management more leverage to establish an expectation of performance, because excessive tardiness is in the eye of the beholder, I think, but generally I think the eyes of these beholders would say that's very lenient from a tardiness perspective. That's really too much.
Yeah, it could get complicated because when you have the ADA situations in there.
Well, then I think you make individual ADA connotations within the ADA criteria for that situation, but don't create a blanket policy that could be potentially exercised by less reliable employees. From a productivity standpoint, I think you guys need to look at that. So let's table this one. Uh-huh. Let's get a review of the policy. That's for the executive director to work with the HR team and review this issue and bring it back to us for additional consideration in January. Everybody okay with that? Okay. All right, let's move on to, is there anything else we need to cover?
The next policy is the longevity policy. Again, there were no changes to this policy. This policy has been in existence for a while. The only thing that was changed is the example, just the clarification, because some employees had questions about the example that was provided on the calculations for longevity.
Okay. I don't see a conflict of longevity in my seat.
Okay. We're asking for approval from the board.
We have a motion on longevity policy.
Motion to approve.
A second.
Motion by Chief Steele, second by Ms. Inspector. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. Any no's? Any nays? Okay. Motion carries unanimously.
Okay. The next policy is the Americans with Disabilities Act policy. This policy has been made a standalone policy. Most organizations have it as a standalone policy, and so it's a brand new standalone policy, and it just has the basic language about Americans with Disabilities Act and the contracting process.
Any questions? All right, we have a motion.
Move approval.
A second.
Motion and approval. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
Okay. The next policy is the injured workers policy. This policy, there were a few changes in this policy. Pretty much the changes that were made were based on what legal recommended, and that's just removal of medical examinations, and also there were instances where out-of-pocket expenditure, I deleted where employees should experience no out-of-pocket expenditures due to a work injury, and also added a provision about the Americans with Disability Act and a provision that the employee must be honest. And these are just recommendations from the legal team that some of those requirements that were removed are no longer required, basically.
You added or removed the statement about honesty, you said?
I added the one about honesty. Okay. That's the only one that I pretty much added. And the Americans with Disability Act, I mentioned that one in here.
I'm gonna be a bit of a stick in the mud again. If we could go back and get the track changes on this one too, because I think this issue is, I think we have to be careful on also. I don't know what legal removed from the policy. Wayne, are you aware? Was removed.
It'd be better to bring the track changes and show you.
Okay.
What was removed? We had a few recommendations on this policy.
Okay. And is the term honesty an equivalent to truthfulness?
It is.
Okay. Just from a legal perspective, yeah. I mean, it is to me too. But, okay. So if we could bring that back on in January to see the nuances of the changes and ask for legal to weigh in. Okay, let's read the next policy, drug and alcohol.
Okay, the next policy is drug and alcohol free workplace. If you turn to page 69 on your package, with this policy, everything is the same with the exception of the language that's printed there, showing what language was removed, and it's specifically in italics. Change that was included in here was making sure that the reporting requirements, if someone was arrested or convicted for an offense dealing with drug and alcohol free workplace, we included the word arrest as well as conviction. Okay. So, with the legals,
so help me understand this one too. How does this impact the CJIS requirement? Someone is convicted, one's a Class B conviction, they could be removed from CJIS. Well, CJIS would be a factor. Is that considered in this policy? Do we know?
Okay. That would be, the CJIS requirements would be separate.
Wouldn't they supersede?
Well, you wouldn't want a policy that would allow an employee to be here with a conviction for drugs. And CJIS will kick them out.
That would supersede our policy. Sure.
CJIS is a pre-employment requirement, and I think this is a
no.
It's both. It's both. This is separate. This is separate than what we're asking. Than CJIS.
Yes.
Based on this policy, if they had a conviction, they would be subject to disciplinary action.
They have to be subject to removal based on their job classification also, I think.
So yeah,
we wouldn't want a policy that allows them to continue to stay here or to be in conflict with CJIS.
See, Chief, the way I see it, somebody runs afoul of the CJIS requirements, you have to take away their access. Yes. And not having access means that they're not going to be able to perform their job.
That's right.
And if you go to agenda packet page 76, section J, it states an employee who is arrested or convicted of any kind of activity involving the illegal use or possession of drugs is notified employee supervisor no later than 5 days after the arrest or conviction. Failure to do so may result in disciplinary action, including dismissal.
See, we give 24 hours for that.
Yep. This says after arrest or conviction. So does that mean the employee gets to choose at what point, and their court date's 6 months away, and after they're convicted, then they have to tell you?
No, the purpose was to make sure that they have a requirement to report if they are arrested. Initially, just had the language, just if they're convicted, they mm-hmm. have a duty to report it. But we wanted them to report it if they're either arrested or convicted.
Now,
either one.
But if you're arrested, the employer should be notified by the system.
Not all the time, though. Sometimes people are arrested. And
we don't have that in play here, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We need it.
Well, we're not a CJIS. We don't have law enforcement tools to do that.
We don't have an authorized
okay. back. No, but we always put the responsibility on the employee to report themselves immediately. And 5 days is a very lenient policy where the employee could be here working. And I just, immediate notification is necessary when these things happen.
I think something else we may want to consider, given that, and here, I'm going to need your expertise to chime in here. Some agencies are only citing people for possession of narcotics.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Well, especially in Dallas County.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's not just arrests. It's also they're being given citations for these things. So I think that there needs to probably be some language in there anytime they're issued citation, arrested, and or convicted, and or.
Yeah, so I'm going to ask we take this one back too.
Okay.
And,
can I ask a question?
Sure.
As an outsider, I guess. How are you all dealing with, I'm sure you're familiar with Delta 8, Delta 9 narcotics, right? Delta 8 is legal in the state of Texas and federally. It hasn't been, as long as it's, I think, 0.3% under the THC limit for Delta 9. It's so confusing, but I'm actually dealing with a similar situation. It is an inhibitor, has an intoxication effect. It can be bought at any THC store around here. How would that be handled in this situation? It's not illegal, but it is an inhibitor. So.
Well, that would be like a prescription drug. It may be something that's prescribed, but if we have an employee, depending on what their job duties are, and it's impacting their ability to perform their job, and we have concerns about safety, then that's something where we would look into it based on the totality of the
services. I'm going to defer to Chief Steele on this
one. Yeah, and a lot of those that are advertising that they're legal or not, when they're
right.
tested, they're over the allowed limit. So it's.
And so if you attain those type, if the employee's caught with a product like that, right, do is it submitted for a test?
It depends on the situation, but typically, like for us, if we have an employee who's caught with that, then our internal affairs will contact the arresting agency, and you know, if they seize the product and they're going to have it tested, they'll ask for the lab results.
What would be the grounds for arrest since Delta 8 is a legal product?
That depends on the situation too. It depends if it's, you know,
if the officer thought they were inebriated or whatever.
Yeah, there's a lot of factors that go into
it. You're not allowed to be impaired on the job.
Right, that's what I was going to say. Our policies has some language that says anything, any substance consumed that impairs your ability to do your job function. It's pretty broad.
Is there something elsewhere in the policy about being CJIS compliant as an employee? Because if that's in there, then that can be directed to anything in here that would take them out of compliance. Would be grounds for judicial dismissal.
That would be under our employee standards of conduct, where they have to be compliant, you know, with CJIS requirement, all laws, etc.
And that's in there specifically?
That's a separate policy.
Yeah. So we'll ask you to take this one back and review it and do a comparative analysis of the other jurisdictions.
Okay, and then the last one, would be the records retention policy. District did not have an actual standalone policy for this, so this is a new policy that has been created.
Did Legal touch this one?
Yes, Legal has reviewed and looked at all the policies that are before you.
Okay. Any questions about this one? Do you have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Motion from the mayor.
Second.
Second, Mr. Brunson. All those in favor?
Aye. There's also right behind there a resolution that's required that will need to be submitted to the Texas Library Archives. So there's a resolution that was prepared by Wayne and his team. So I'm asking for the board to review and approve.
Do we need a motion on that, Wayne? Or just
yes, you do.
Okay. We have a motion.
Make a motion to approve.
Second. Motion, Ms. Indigo. Second, Chief Steele. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. We'll do that.
Thank you all very much for coming.
Good to see you
next year.
Yes.
Who Okay, what's next?
Very last one is the bylaws. I have drafted some bylaws which have been reviewed by the legal team. And what I'm passing out, because I did get a question regarding the attendance section of the bylaws and some possible language in that regard. And so I have provided some additional language for consideration.
And these are new, right, Stephanie? First time the board's ever adopted this bylaws.
Yes, this is the first time the board has ever adopted bylaws. And this is a draft. Obviously, you all can make changes, you know, as you see fit, as long as they're in accordance with the law. The first section is just general language regarding Tarrant County 911 district and its creation. The second part talks about the purpose of the Tarrant County 911 district. Then it talks about board appointments. And the terms, that was something that was requested be included in here. Of course, that's what prompted the email about terms and when they expire. As Sherry mentioned, we need more information in that regard. And then we have some general language about resignations and vacancies. And most of this, as you see at the very beginning, is really statute language. And then there is a question that came up too when I was drafting the officers of the board in Article 3. It's my understanding that we do have a secretary and we have a treasurer. The question that I have, because I know normally the secretary handles the minutes and sometimes postings, etc. And I think a lot of that has been provided to the executive director and her staff liaisons. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if you want to continue to operate that way or if that's something that you all want to change. The other thing is that we have a treasurer. I'm not really sure what the treasurer does or if we really actually need a treasurer. That would be something for the board to consider too. And so that may be something where you want to change that language about the officers that's listed here for the board.
Who's the current treasurer?
Me.
Okay.
Do you love that position?
Do I love it?
Yeah, are you busy in that position?
No. Just as needed. If I need to sub to sign checks or review financials. Other than that, that's about the basis of what I do. The good majority of the treasury-type functions, Neil takes care of.
What do you think about whether the board should have a treasurer position, or is that something that Neil should handle?
I think that there's a purpose of having it as a board oversight for fiscal. But is it required under the code?
Okay. It's not. It's discretionary with the board.
But technically the entire board oversees financials.
I think it goes the same for the secretary too, right? Mm-hmm. And what's the secretary's role verbatim?
Right, and the statute has it directed at the executive director.
Mm-hmm. Because really it's just a title being held, not a... There's not functionality really associated with it. I guess my only question would be, Wayne, if we eliminate the treasurer position, what does that mean if you need somebody else to sign for expenditures?
Well, you have a chair,
right,
and a vice chair,
mm-hmm,
and we have a secretary. We can designate any board member to sign, or we could just leave it to the officers that have been that are authorized by the bylaws. Yeah,
I thought that any board member could sign. I thought that's why we had to sign for the bank. Any board member can sign. So we have a plan back up.
So we don't need it then, is what you're saying.
Not for signature purposes. It sounds like you've already permitted every board member to sign.
Okay.
And then we have an external auditor to help us watch the financials.
I don't know that there's no, if there's not a business need for it or a have to, then maybe that's something that we reevaluate.
I would like to sit on this one too.
Yeah.
And maybe take it to the, carry it to the next retreat discussion. Because I think we represent entities also in this arena. And so certainly got to give Fort Worth the opportunity.
And we were not expecting y'all to make a decision. This is.
Yeah.
We start absorbing this and let's look at it and see what we want for the district.
Well, you might each look at this one in particular. This is the first time you've adopted bylaws, and if you got any particular input, you give it to Stephanie before the meeting.
Yes,
and then
please.
We can.
I mean, there's not existing bylaws right now. When the district was formed, it didn't start with bylaws.
No.
And with Kalia.
Should have. That would have been a best practices, but no, that's my understanding. You've never had bylaws in your past.
All right. We're just Robert Rules of Order is all we are, really.
Modified Robert Rules of Order. Yeah. And just for clarification, the statute says the board may appoint from among its members a presiding officer and any other officers it considers necessary. The director, Jerry, or a board member may be appointed as secretary to the board. And those are the only officers that are mentioned in the statute. So in the bylaws, you have the discretion to determine what other officers you might want or not want. So it's just whatever you think this board needs.
Okay, let's put this on the agenda as a regular discussion item for a while until we wrestle it down. Because I think this is another thing that needs some thoughtful consideration.
And I just want to make sure the additional language, I guess you would just take that and read that. Is there anything, anybody have any questions or anything I need to explain?
So this right here is essentially the track changes for this right here. Is that what this is? Oh, this is drafted first. This is a first draft.
This is drafted from the initial. There were no bylaws, so I created this from scratch.
Okay, great. Cool.
The additional language is just because there were some questions regarding training as well as attendance of the board meeting. So I wanted to provide some optional language for you to look at in case you wanted to look at that in more detail or have more options.
That will be on my pack of the things to review. But we'll table this and just Ms. Watson. Go ahead.
That last sentence in the addition.
Uh-huh.
The board will decide what actions to take regarding the board member's future membership. Shouldn't that be the board will refer that decision to the appointing authorities?
You could change the language if you all wanted to. When I did my research, I found out if there was a problem with attendance with a board member, that the board came together and discussed it as a whole and voted on it as an agenda.
So the only thing with that, again, is we should refer to the entity who appointed the individual to deal with that issue versus dealing with that individual as a board. We should contact the entity regarding their attendance and lack thereof. And I think that's where we...
Yeah, this board has the ability and, quite frankly, responsibility in my mind to let the appointing authority know whether or not the member is performing the way they are expected to perform. Are they participating at meetings, etc.? But you can't remove a board member.
No.
That has to be done by the appointing entity.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, well, that's good. We'll start grinding through this one, too. All
right. So I have a question. I'll call this my review, and if I require any coaching, please yell out. Am I providing what you all need? I mean,
I didn't
hear your am I providing what you all need as a service provider?
So far, keep it up.
Okay, I'm just checking.
just keep it.
Are you saying you wish to remove yourself?
Yeah, I know.
Thank you.
I just want to make sure.
Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, Bill, for your patience.
Oh, no worries. I'm ready.
We're ready.
We covered the wireless fee issue. Just some general updates. Session starts January 10th. March 10th is the deadline to get a bill filed, and it ends on May 29th.
Bill filing started November 14th, and there's been a little over 900 bills as of Friday afternoon filed in the House, roughly 250 in the Senate. And just for the benefit of board members that don't know this, so we're tracking the bills as they're filed, reviewing these bills, and then I compile a bill tracking report and get it to Sherry and her staff on a weekly basis so that they can see it. And if anything pops up that causes me concern, or, you know, we'll get it to staff immediately so they can offer their input on it. But right so far, of the bills that have been filed, I haven't seen anything that directly impact us. But again, it's just pre-filing, so we'll see. And then just on the political side of it, over the weekend, the House Republican Caucus endorsed Dave Phelan to continue on as Speaker pretty overwhelmingly. Now, he's got to be elected by the House, and that's done on the first day of the session. He needs 76 votes, and unless something insane happens between now and then, he will be the Speaker. And he has been very good to 911. He is a former staffer and has always understood these issues. So I think that's a good thing for us.
Back to the fees real quick. Any perspective of the governor's office on this yet?
Actually, yes. So the head 911 Alliance lobbyist, Shane Woodard, who has been a mentor and friend of mine, is leaving the Alliance to become the governor's legislative director, which is a very good thing for us. Obviously, you can't guarantee anything, but
was it that was just recently published? The
Thursday, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that may be helpful if you're able to connect through that pathway.
Yes, sir.
And we'll connect through the other pathways.
All hands on deck.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Anything else for Bill? Anything else, Bill?
That's all I know. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Appreciate it. Thank you.
So will we be having a replacement for Shane at the Alliance, or will Anya take that up?
I don't think Anya can take that up since she's lobbying for Harris County. But Shane, and I don't know if you've met Shane's, the other person in his office. It's going Lauren, I've lost my mind. She just got married. She's been working on these issues for the past 3 or 4 years, so she knows them pretty well. But I think ultimately it's up to the Alliance to decide if they want to go back out and find a new lobbyist.
I'm very excited for Shane. I mean, he's going to be such an education in this role.
Yep.
I mean, he's been there for us since 9 when we started just trying to get the educational requirements increased for telecommunicators and licensing. Him and Anya were just masterful in that. So it's nice to have somebody who knows us in a very important position.
Absolutely.
Make sure he gets Christmas card.
He'll get Christmas cookies before he officially starts with the governor's office.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right, do we have anything for executive session? We do?
We don't.
Okay. All right, we'll move into public comment. Anyone from the public wishes to comment to the board? All right, seeing none, we'll declare the meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Y'all have a good Christmas.
There you are.
You too, Robert.